This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the best of the WIP Midday Show with Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio.
Bessia deals in the pitch. Blasted high and deep left field, and that is gone. Castellanos greets Bessia with his eighth career grand slam. And it's a 6-2 Phillies lead.
A heck of a call from Scott Fransky and a heck of a series win for the Phillies. Welcome on a midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. A ton of Phillies to get to as they take two out of three from the previous unbeaten Dodgers. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. In the immortal words of Belle Biv and DeVoe, never trust a big butt in a smile.
Okay. Sometimes I have a sense just of where you're going to go with the Daily Douglas, and sometimes I don't. I have just no idea what
I
you're
just felt that, you know, I just speak what's on my mind, man. And that song was in my head, and I just thought about those keywords that, you know, you say in the song, never trust a big brother's smile.
I get it. You know what? I like that you're speaking what's on your mind.
Just that's what was on my mind on a daily.
That's what we do here on WIP. 215-592-9494. Let me tell you what's on my mind. I got to tell you, I wanted to caution myself going too far, but I can't hide how I feel. The Phillies feel a little different. They feel a little different. That was a really fun series. It had an October feel to it. Back and forth all weekend. Lizardo on Friday. JT with the two guys he threw out on Friday night, especially to finish the game there. But I'm telling you, this felt different over the weekend. Now, they lost the game Saturday, but yesterday, back and forth, back and forth. And what stuck out to me and continues to stick out to me, Hugh, more than anything else with the Phillies right now. We know their starting pitching is good. Mm-hmm. We know they have some bullpen issues. We'll get to that. Romano is obviously an issue right now. And the Alec Bohm thing is top of mind as well. But in terms of the big picture, what's standing out to me is all offseason, all spring training, they talked about chase rate, right? They talked about laying off of bad pitches, working pitches, grinding at-bats. And Hugh, they wake up today, and they're the best team in baseball in terms of doing that right now. They have the lowest chase rate in baseball. The Dodgers have some nasty pitchers. And all weekend, they laid off. And I think about that grand slam we came in with there with Castellanos yesterday, okay? And here's how they got there. Walk, 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 single, walk. Grand slam.
Glass now helped that out.
He did, and the rain did too. But then last year, the Phillies would have swung at some of those pitches. They didn't yesterday. Hugh, I'm excited after this weekend. How are you feeling? It feels to me Like, the Phillies are different early in this season. Hugh, what are you feeling after this Phillies take a series over the Dodgers?
I feel the same. And I think yesterday was a small sampling of what we want the Phillies to be. Mm. To your point, Glasnow was a mess.
Yes.
When the rain started coming down.
Can we get him here in October with the crowd on him?
When the rain started coming down, he started to melt away. Almost like he was made of sugar, you know, when the rain was hitting him. So you have that. And the patient at-bats that guys had. Trey Turner had some impatient at-bats.
Yes, he did.
That is what looked different to me. Now, I'm a long talk just a little bit.
Okay, you go for it.
It's early. It's early. But when you talk about the way that they were able to play and some of the fundamental things that they tried to set out to do that they accomplished, then you feel good about this team. And it's funny, right, because watching those games the other 3 days, seeing the emotion that the people had, the excitement that the people had, it was a playoff atmosphere, and it just made me think, and I'm not being petty. I'm not being petty at all.
Don't be petty on a Monday.
No, I'm not being petty, but I just thought it was kind of ironic how we were fully engaged and the people were fully engaged. And I guarantee you there were a few sprinkled in the crowd, well, probably quite a few, that when we talked about how you feel about this team early in the season, everybody said, oh, I got my hands crossed, the fingers crossed, or whatever. Or arms crossed, I should say. And they weren't really invested. Yes, you are. That series, if you weren't invested, if you were one of those people that said you were on the fence before Friday, guess what? You're off the fence now.
There was an atmosphere in that building.
Yes.
I mean, when JT was pumping his fist when he threw the runners out on Friday night, and Lizardo, when he came off the mound in his last strikeout, pumping his fist.
They knew how important this was. Yeah. And like I said, as a player, you take it like you take any other game. It's April. It's still early. But when you walk into that stadium and you see those fans and everybody's excited, it changed things. And they got excited. And they played like the team that we knew they could be. Now you just got to keep it going. Like, you have a small sampling size of what you could potentially be. Now just keep it going. That's all you have to do.
Well, keep playing good baseball, and the Phillies are right now. 215-592-9494. Did the series win over the Dodgers show you that this Phillies team is different? And I try to guard against early season changing, you know, going too far with, hey, it looks different.
It changes. But you're emotional.
I am.
You're an emotional wreck.
It is a small sample, but it's starting to add up. Because it was easy to say, for me at least, the first couple series, like, you know, the Nationals pitching other than Gore, not very good.
They were playing tomato cans.
Tomato cans, exactly, yes. They were playing tomato cans. The Rockies have tomato cans. But then the Dodgers rolled in. And you know what? Yamamoto's not a tomato can. And Sasaki's not a tomato can. And Glass,
he's young, though. He's young. He was a young guy.
But he's got good stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Glasnow, although he's obviously a big baby, and the weather bothered him yesterday, he's got great stuff. Like, these guys are big-time pitchers. And the Phillies worked 11 walks yesterday. 11 walks. They haven't had 11 walks in a 9-inning game in 15 years. But this is not normal, what they're doing right now. Best chase rate in baseball. Let's go through the weekend, talk about it. 215-592-9494. Let's start off before the whole thing started. It was Bryce Harper. I love that he said this. He kind of set the stage with, the Dodgers are the class of baseball, but that's all right. We'll take them on.
I don't know if people like this, but I feel like only losers complain about what they're doing. You know, I think they're a great team. They're a great organization. That's why guys want to go there and play. LA is a great city to play in, obviously. They're at the mecca of kind of the world of everything, right? From food to nightlife to sports, from the Dodgers to the Lakers to anybody. So, they're going to continue to get guys. They're going to continue to pull guys from, this sport. And if that's bullpen, starting pitching, international players, anything like that, they're doing what the Dodgers do.
He's right. The Dodgers have become what the Yankees were 25 years ago, right? Like, they're the standard in baseball. So, like,
they're the mecca of all sports, though. Is LA?
I don't know. I mean, not really.
No.
Yeah, he might have went too far with that.
Yeah. That, it's funny, and I'm
you
sorry.
You picked out that
the pandering leaked over
that,
to LA.
That bothered me a little bit. All right, LA is the mecca for sports?
Huh? What is? Is there one? I mean, Boston had that 10 years ago, right?
Well, it's Patriots like when and Red Sox. When I think of great sports towns, it's not like LA's in my top five.
Well, yeah, the Lakers don't win enough.
Well, I mean, it's not that. It's just, when I think of great sports cities.
Oh, you mean like fans?
Yeah.
Oh, then they're not even. They're not.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think maybe off the top, just I'm thinking Kansas City's a good sports town. Cleveland.
Well, here.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Here.
Of course, we're not saying.
Yeah.
So, he's right in that we got to stop making excuses. Like the Dodgers spend a lot of money. We got to go beat them. Like this is they are the standard in baseball. They're going to spend the most money. Deal with it. Everyone's got to deal with it. The Phillies didn't beat them this week two times. How about JT? A little tongue in cheek before the series, but then it was fun to watch it play out.
It's the first weekend, April, but is there any added juice for the Dodgers coming in this weekend?
I don't know. I heard they were unbeatable, so we should know. I don't think so. I mean, we want to win every game. Every game's important. Obviously, they're a great team over there, so we're excited for their talent. It's going to be fun.
Well, it was fun, and they beat him 2 out of 3. A big part of the reason, the Grand Slam yesterday by Nick Castellanos. Here's Casty after the series was wrapped up and the Phillies took 2 out of 3.
For us as, you know, announcers, for the fans, certainly there's a lot kind of baked into this facing the Dodgers. Do you guys get any more juice for something like this?
I mean, to say no, I'd be lying a little bit. It is just another series, but, I mean, to be able to play the defending world champions, you know, series at home, obviously they're somebody we're going to have to go through if we're going to be able to accomplish our ultimate goal, which is to finish on top. So, I mean, it was a good series. We played really well.
Yeah, of course he'd be lying if he said there wasn't more meaningful. It was more meaningful. We talked about that on Friday. It played out over the weekend. 215-592-9494. Did the series win over the Dodgers show you that this Phillies team is different? It's starting to pile up now, especially the at-bats. That's what's got me more than anything. They are having good at-bats. Trey and Castellanos, guys that typically have crappy at-bats, are having good at-bats. And then you add in, you know, Harper and Schwarber, who always have good at-bats. They're grinding. I would say almost everything is pointing in the right direction. The starting pitching, the lineup for the most part. Yeah, there's some issues in the bullpen, and Bohm, we'll get to that. But it was a great weekend, and I'm starting to feel like this Phillies team, they may be walking the walk after talking the talk all spring training. Kyle, where do you come down on the Phillies after they take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers?
Yeah, they absolutely showed me this weekend that they're a different team. And I understand that there are going to be people out there who are like, it's early, it's too early.
You mean it's early Douglas over here?
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
typical
wet blanket hue. You know, hope never springs eternal with this guy. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, I'd spin that to say, because it's early is why I feel better about this team. Like, going into the season, one of the bigger questions that I had, and I think a lot of people had, was, how are they going to respond to what happened at the end of last season and even the offseason, right, where ownership and upper management sort of doubled down on the investment that they made? They didn't really add too much. They didn't make a huge swing, big move. They said, you know what? You guys should be better than this. Go be better than this. And the Phillies could have came into this season almost like, woe is me. Yep. Like, you know, these last few years, we gave it our best shot and we tried and we just came up short and it is what it is. That's baseball. That's who we are. And, you know, maybe let's just hope that we flip the switch when October comes around. But they're not doing that. Like, their mentality going into this season, and I love this, is that they went in and they said, no, it's up to us. The management bet on us to go and change who we are. We're good enough to change who we are. So let's go change who we are. And they're showing that in their mentality. I loved what they said before the game about the Dodgers. Not only did they not shy away, or they weren't scared of the Dodgers, they invited the smoke from the Dodgers. They said, come bring it on. Like, you're coming to our house, and we will show you that we can hang with you. And we are one of the big boy teams. So I love the mentality, and I love the approach. I mean, you know, I freaked out after the first game, 19 strikeouts. That was scary. But, you know, what can we do? We only had one game to react to. Ever since then, it's been awesome. Like the chasing, the walking, it's all been great. Like, I love their approach to the plate. You know, for the most part, like you said, there are some guys who I don't think are really showing that they took that, the bull by the horns, really, like Alec Bohm, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But everybody else, man, the guys that are paid the biggest amount of money and the guys that we need to rely on the most, it looks like they've changed their mentality and they've changed their approach. So, like, I love what I'm seeing from the team so far. I needed them to make a statement early on and show me and make me feel better that this team was different, and so far they have.
And look, I understand it's one series. I understand it's April, and the Dodgers are going to be in the postseason, and hopefully we see the Dodgers Phillies face off at some point, because we haven't in any of these postseasons. The Phillies are not afraid of the Dodgers, Hugh. You could feel that. You saw it last year when they beat them 5 out of 6. They beat them 2 out of 3 this weekend. We recognize over 162, the Dodgers are probably going to win more games because that's what they do. But when they play head-to-head, the Phillies think they're just as good. I think that's half the battle. You can't fear how good they are, because the Phillies, they don't fear that team.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that I caught from that is that the Dodgers feel the same way. They feel like they match up Well, it's a good matchup for both squads. And, you know, you talk about what Shohei Ohtani did or what he didn't do.
Boy, we're like the only team he doesn't hit.
Yeah, kryptonite. Woo! A little bit of his kryptonite, man. And that was a good feeling, man. And you saw that. You saw that yesterday in particular. When Glasnow was on the mound, I was like, that's one of my favorite things to see in baseball is a pitcher that's out there on the mound that's lost. And it was obvious that the way he was looking – he thought it was everything else but what it actually was, and it was him. It was him that was having his.
What my favorite part of that inning was, I mean, the grand slam was awesome, right? But leading up to that, I feel like in the past, Hugh, one of those hitters would have swung at the first pitch and bailed him out, right? Mm-hmm. Like a pop-up, a fly ball, and then he can breathe, and he's like, all right, I'll get out of this. They didn't. They let him basically destroy himself on the mound yesterday, and he did. I mean, he that might have been the worst inning of that guy's career, and he's a good pitcher. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Did this series against the Dodgers show you this Phillies team is different? And I understand how early it is. It's super early. I understand Hugh's perspective that it's still early. We still got to learn more. But all the signs are pointing in the right direction, and we can't use, like we did the first two series, hey, they've played tomato cans. So the Dodgers are not tomato cans. They're the best team in baseball. Very few teams grind at bats against the Dodgers like that. They kind of Dodgers to the Dodgers. I mean, that's what the Dodgers do to teams, and the Phillies did it to them all weekend long. I love Luzardo on Friday. I love the intensity of JT. I love the comeback yesterday, the grand slam, and that inning was set up because the Phillies let Glasnow walk the ballpark. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here as the Phillies take 2 out of 3 over the Dodgers this weekend. Chris in Middletown starts us off on WIP. Good morning, Chris.
Happy hop on the Phillies bandwagon day, man.
It's time. You know what?
Is that what it is?
You know what it is? Here's what it is. Everyone that took the pledge, you know, there's two
all
ways.
All the I told you so yep. are coming today.
You know what? There's the pledge works both ways. If they stink, we get on them. But if they're playing well, we give them credit. And they're playing well right now, Chris.
Be ready for it, Joe. And Hugh, you know you're going to love this. You're going to get a lot of I told you, I told you, you know, I told you, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Can I point out a few things here, though? So, Friday, Hugh. Friday, yes. You were trying to speak some facts and wisdom into Plant Joe that this team is for real, and he just didn't want to listen. But today, I tuned into YouTube, and I watched you walk in that studio, go right to that corner where the bucket of water is with the wet blanket, and you pulled it out, wrapped yourself in it, like tight, like snug as a bug in a rug, and we're back to wet blanket, Hugh Douglas, today. Why?
Wait a minute. Why am I the wet blanket?
You said it was early.
It is.
You said it was early.
So how could I? Like, my whole thing is to be consistent, correct?
Yeah, I know. But
I'm trying to. I mean, I said it was April last week.
Yeah.
So. Not,
but we're further into April now.
Oh, so we're a couple days further in.
It's April 7th.
I'm the wet blanket.
Flip flopping with new information is encouraged.
Wet noodle Douglas.
You people right here.
You gotta be kidding me.
You people at 10:15?
At 10:15, you people.
Wow. Take that personally, everyone.
I'm just trying to be even keeled. I am the only
we
even keeled.
We don't do that here.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
We ride on emotion on the show. Yeah. We don't get even keeled. Guys, listen, the approach is absolutely phenomenal. They've taken a very disciplined approach, which is not typical of this team. You're watching them, you know, I heard you guys last week criticizing that and some folks criticizing, well, they're not really hitting the starters. They're hitting the bullpen. No. That's what great teams do. They get through and wear the starters down to get them out and they strike and they attack the bullpen. And you know what team did this? So as somebody who grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, who had a father who was a diehard Yankees fan, I watched in 1990 Joe Torre Yankees win multiple world championships with this approach. They would not attack starting pitchers that much. They would wear them down, and they would get into bullpens, and they would absolutely obliterate the bullpens. And that's what I'm watching go on right now. There's a few highlight things that I love that I'm seeing. Christopher Sanchez, when I went to a game the other day and I was standing behind a dugout, man, young Sanchez is swole. Man, he's been hitting the gym. He's definitely clearly been working out. He no longer has the skinny, like skin and bone arms like Spike does. He looks legit. And I do want to point out one main thing. The last thing I have to say, Bryce Harper hit the nail on the head. Hey, here's another thing. Bryce has been the one doing the interviews afterwards, which I love. I think that is telling us exactly who's in charge of what's going on right now. But Bryce told us in his interview after yesterday's game against the Wicked Witch of the West, Tyler Gasnow, he said, obviously, pitching wins championships. So C. Joe, even Bryce, understands that offense is a luxury. And what really matters...
No, we can't do that. We can't do that. But I do agree with a lot of what he said there, especially getting the starting pitchers out this weekend. 6-4-2. That's what the starters went for the Dodgers this weekend. You keep knocking starters out before five, you're going to win a lot of games. Chris, we appreciate the phone call there. You know what? He's right about that. The approach at the plate seems to be more of pass the baton rather than I got to be the guy, and I'm going to swing at anything to be the guy. I would say the thing I'm most impressed with so far, Hugh, is two guys that have historically not done this. Turner and Castellanos, they seem to have taken it seriously. Now, they got to keep doing it, right? It's a long season. But so far, they look different to me at the plate. They look like they're trying to be different at the plate. And that's a big deal because, Hugh, we wondered all offseason, like, can a leopard change its spots, right? Like, can a player that's at play, especially Castellanos, but can a guy that's played a certain way his whole career say, I'm going to be different, work on it, and be different when it matters? They look like they're different, those two, right now. I like that.
I mean, they're doing what's best for the team right now, man, and I think that's the most important thing. In a situation like this, Joe, you have to adapt. It's adapt or die. Yeah. You didn't say a whole lot. That's the thing that kind of snuck out to me. They didn't say a whole lot going into this season. They're just going out there and they're doing it. Because the time for talking is over. You just got to go out there and get it done.
Well, and they did this weekend. 2 out of 3 over the Dodgers is a big weekend for the folks. Go to Chris in Delaware. What's up, Chris? Chris.
Awesome.
Chris, all right. Let's go to Tom in Wayne. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, Tom. What's up?
Hey, I just want to throw my 2 cents in about the Phillies. Let's face it. Last year, they played great baseball. The first half, just like they are now. But I will say, Trey Turner has been awesome at shortstop. Tawan Walker was a real surprise. But it's going to take a lot more convincing for me if they don't have that deer in the headlights look when they get towards the playoffs. And I'm expecting this to continue right through the second half before I can start really feeling a warm and cozy about the team.
Well, Tom, I understand that. Yeah, especially because it's been 3 years in a row where in the biggest moments they struggled. What's encouraging to me, Tom, you mentioned Turner, is that I think the biggest reason they struggled in October was, you could say the lights were bright, but I also think their warts got exposed, right? Their weakness got exposed. It looks like they worked on that. Like Turner and Castellanos, they're just having better at-bats than I've ever seen them have in Phillies uniforms.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, Castellanos is known for getting hot and cold. Yeah. I mean, I love the guy myself. But, again, this has to continue. And Trey Turner, he's been gunning guys down from shortstop. I mean, it's been incredible. And I don't have much confidence in Ranger either making a full comeback with a bad back. I mean, that could be questionable. But the starting pitching so far, no problem. Nola's had a few issues throwing that watermelon ball up there. But, hey, I just hope it continues because I love the team. So go Phillies.
Go Phillies. Tom, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, we'll get to the Nola stuff. Nola has been giving up home runs. I mean, we're not surprised at this. Aaron Nola's going to give up home runs, but there's been quite a few so far early in the season. 215-592-9494.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In studio, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seat. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, how we doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
How are you
good?
Doing?
There's a lot going on.
I got a favorite, Hugh. I got two of them, maybe. I don't know if either of these were on the bracket, actually.
Oh, well, we have next year's bracketology up already. So
one is... Five shots of Honey Jack at the airport, Hugh.
Oh. You know what?
Yeah, that's not nice, many have Hugh. Gotten to know, but I got to know well
Five.
On our trip to Kansas
that's
City.
That's quite a few.
Yeah. The other one, and I think this one should have won, Hugh singing Crazy by CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Hugh clip.
Songbird Hugh made it out of the first round.
Yeah. I think like it must have, right?
Yep. Yeah. Living in this big blue world.
Yeah, this is good.
No, Honey Jack hits the spot.
It does. Get you going for the flight.
Well, yeah.
That was a long
normally,
day.
Yeah, and normally it helps with the anxiety that you have when you go on these trips, man.
Yeah.
So it helps with the anxiety.
Yeah. When I was listening back to One Shining Hugh yesterday, it reminded me of when you almost didn't make it out of Florida. That's one of my... He was not in a good way, and he couldn't...
Is this for the spring training trip?
Yeah, almost made it to get home. If the lady didn't help him at the kiosk, he was
like, no, we got you. I got you. And I was
there
like,
there you go.
Yeah, it's because I was not functioning correctly at that moment.
Or correctly, depending how
it happens. It does. All right, Elliott, we are what, 15 days away from the NFL draft? It's pick number 32. All right, Elliott, as you go through this here, what do you think their biggest need is? So Ray was on yesterday with the morning show and going over what he thought their biggest needs were. What do you think the biggest need is as we enter the draft?
So I think the biggest need on the roster is safety. I think you could argue the biggest need long-term, which is maybe how you should view the draft, would probably be defensive tackle. But at 32, if I could pick one player in this draft, outside of like Abdul Carter, who is just not realistic, but if I could pick one player in the draft to put on the roster, for me, it would be Malachi Starks. I think he fills an obvious
That's
need
Georgia
for him.
That's a Georgia kid,
right? The Georgia safety, yeah. Fills an obvious need for him. But also, I think he has a very high floor. Like, I think he could come onto the Eagles next year and be an impact player right away. So when I look at the needs on this team, safety is there because Sidney Brown's extremely unproven. I know that he has potential, and there's a lot to like about his game. He's a hard hitter. He plays with intensity. I do think he trusts his instincts maybe a little too much sometimes, which causes him to give up big plays or to miss tackles. But safety would be number one. But I do think, like, as much as I like Moro Ojomo, and I do think he'll have a good year, it's critical that they have a pass-rushing defensive tackle to put next to Jalen Carter. Because if they don't, like, it's going to really limit his ability to impact the game.
When you look at their depth chart right now, and I know it's just a, you know, ESPN website depth chart, there's not even a person behind Ojomo on the depth chart. Like, there's nobody there.
I mean, yeah, it's Jordan Davis, who I think Jordan Davis, I do think, improved last year. Like, I feel better about Jordan Davis sitting here today than I did this time last year. But even in the improvements he's made, he is not an impact pass rusher. Moro Ojomo does have really good pass rushing stats. Now, he doesn't have a career sack. That's not great.
Or like the pass rush win rate type of stuff.
Yeah, he wins a lot of those. He gets hurries. All those are true. But they have to add or find somebody that on passing downs, you feel really confident can be out there and make an impact. Because this defense, they have a lot of talent, but they're so dependent on Jalen Carter. I mean, you can make an argument.
Oh, yeah, he's a straw. Just stirs the drink, no question.
Because for a bunch of reasons, A, he makes everyone on the defensive line better. And as good as the secondary players are, like, Jalen Carter helps them as well. I would argue if they could pick one player not to lose to a season-ending injury next year, it would probably be Jalen Carter.
Yeah, there's a fair point. He might be their most indispensable.
Saquon's there, Jalen Hurts is there.
Obviously,
but
the quarterback.
But there's so much talent on offense that I think that, like, losing Jalen Carter would be massive.
They could be a bad defense if he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he has that type of impact. So it's important they find a player next to him that allows him to be the best version of himself.
All right, you mentioned safety. Let's listen to this. Justin Simmons, a free agent. He has connection, obviously, to Fangio all those years where Simmons was one of the better safeties in the league in Denver. He went to Atlanta last year, and now he's a free agent again. It sure sounds like he thinks he could end up here. Justin Simmons, free agent, and he was on with Kay Adams yesterday. And he talked about being, picking where he goes and talking about ending up as a Philadelphia Eagle. Here's Justin Simmons.
Sorry. This is totally on me.
The Eagles, though, I mean, how much does the connection with Fangio and Christian Parker, by the way, the DB's coach, how much does that help and tilt the scale a little bit? Be honest.
Yeah, it does. Like, as honest as I can be, like, I'm a lot of it too, going back to your question earlier about Atlanta, like, there was a lot of new, right? There's a new system. There's a new way to do it. Like, going to Philly with Vic, you know exactly what you're getting out of me. I know exactly what I'm getting out of them because I've been in the system. I still have a ways to go to mastering it, but there's some things and nuances that I know that Vic likes, that I know that Christian Parker likes. And I think I could really help in that area. Obviously, then moving on from CJ and what he's poured into that city there is big shoes to fill, but I love what they have going on with Blankenship and the rest of the supporting cast there. So, it's interesting. I'm excited to see what happens.
He almost talks as if it's going to happen. Like, he's almost putting himself here before he's here.
So
trying to speak it into existence.
Yeah, what do you think about where, so Simmons is on the wrong side of 30 and he just played 1 year and now he's again a free agent. What do you think about that fit?
So as a player, I think it's a good fit. And if you want to talk about what they're losing with Chauncey, the player, as opposed to the person, Chauncey does create turnovers. Mm-hmm. Justin Simmons does create turnovers. If you look at his time in the NFL, he has consistently produced multiple turnover seasons. So there's that fit. My thing with Justin Simmons is twofold. One, I think if they wanted Justin Simmons, they would have had Justin Simmons already. You could have had him last offseason. I'm sure he wasn't super expensive to acquire at the deadline. I know that Chauncey and they weren't going to do that, but they have had times where they could acquire him and they have not. But the other thing is, I think they have sold a message, and it's a message I agree with, but like, of let's give the young guys a shot, that it would be pretty hypocritical to be like, let's give Sidney a chance. Let's see how Jalix Hunt can do. Let's look at Kenyon Green. And then to sign someone in Justin Simmons, who clearly is coming here to start. Like, Justin Simmons is not going to be playing special teams as a backup. So I think in terms of the chances he could be here, I think Sidney gets OTAs. And if Sidney's a disaster in OTAs, then maybe they bring Justin Simmons in. But I do think they are going to give these young guys a chance to earn the job before they go out and sign somebody or trade for somebody that would be a clear-cut starter.
So if they had interest in Simmons, they'd have to hope he stays in the free agent market until The summer.
Yeah, now if I remember correctly, he didn't sign until late last year, right? Wasn't even in training camp.
It
I think he
been.
Signed with the Falcons. So it's pretty clear he wants to play here. I don't blame him. I mean, if I were him, coming to the Philadelphia Eagles is a pretty sweet job for him. He knows the coordinator. He has a good chance of winning a Super Bowl. But I think the Eagles probably know that too. And I don't think they're in a rush to sign Justin Simmons.
All right, Elliot, let's get to with you what we were discussing earlier. So we do the mock draft every day at 1 o'clock, right? Daily mock at 1. And a few times in the last couple weeks, the Eagles have drafted a wide receiver at 32.
Yeah.
I feel like every year we have some sort of variation of this conversation. But now this year, coming off of all the defensive players they lost and how they didn't throw the ball that much last year, what's your take? They take a wide receiver at 32.
So with all the normal caveats of you don't know who's on the board, all that, right? Like, I'd be fine with them taking a receiver at number 32. I think for a couple reasons. A, we can say they don't pass the ball a ton, and I get that, but like I don't know if that's going to be a formula for success next year. I think they are going to have to throw it more. And when they threw it last year, they were pretty good at it. So in the conference championship game and in the Super Bowl, they had to throw the ball, and the fact that they were able to do it is why they have a Super Bowl ring.
So I agree with that before you go on. But since Sirianni got here, Sirianni and Hurts, it doesn't matter who the number three is. They don't throw the ball to that guy.
No,
who was the guy from the Colts in 21 that came here?
He's with the Cardinals now. I can't think of his name.
Is it Pascal?
Yes, Pascal, yeah.
Quez Watkins, Pascal, Dotson, Zacchaeus. None of them get a lot of targets. So, like, to me, it's not so much if the player could play or can help. Is it worth the resource? Is he gonna get the ball more than 20 times
the
whole year?
Definitely not. Like, if you draft a guy at 32, he is not going to put up big numbers.
That's what I mean.
But I think the benefit of drafting a guy at 32 is twofold. One, it is an extremely expensive insurance policy against AJ or Devontae going
down.
That's
true.
And you could argue that's money well spent. When the Eagles are in like a situation where they have a lot of, they have like, they're going to be throwing the ball. And if they go down, he's a key player. I think it's worth paying that insurance policy. But two, if you draft this guy and he's awesome, it does give you roster flexibility a year from now.
If you want
to move on from AJ, I think they would move on from AJ before they'd move on from Devontae. But if you want to move on from one of these high paid receivers, it gives you that flexibility.
All right, let's play with that conversation because someone just brought that up, a caller. Do you think, and leave Devontae out, do we think AJ would handle this well?
If they drafted a receiver,
if they
drafted
a receiver, well, I mean, he could.
So you're saying if they draft a receiver 32, how would AJ handle it?
I mean, he could discern what you said as simply as you could. They might get rid of me in a year. This is my. You said it earlier. This might be my replacement. So is he going to handle that all right?
I think he would because, and you know, look, I've not spoken clearly to AJ about this. This is just me guessing.
Yeah, your guess.
I think AJ likes it here in Philadelphia. He loves being like. AJ's already been traded. So he's been paid. He has a Super Bowl ring. I think if they drafted a guy at 32 and AJ thought maybe I'm traded in a year, I'm sure he wouldn't like that. But I think AJ's well aware of the business of it. And I also think from my experience of talking to teammates of AJ's, he's such a good teammate. I can't picture him, you know, icing the rookie receiver out or anything like that. So, you know, if a year from now, if he gets traded to the Patriots, is AJ going to be heartbroken? I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would ice the receiver out. He seems like a good teammate with his guys. Last year, they had the best team we've ever seen them have, and he's reading a book on the sidelines. He's not getting the ball.
Yeah, but the book thing is, just like that is nothing.
But he was obviously trying to channel his emotions, right?
Yes,
that's what he did.
Yes.
So now we're going to add another player to his position and throw the ball to that guy. I don't think he's going to be happy.
Well, first of all, I don't know if that guy's going to get the ball thrown to him.
Well, then we shouldn't draft him.
No, but the point I'm making is if the best player on their board at 32 is a receiver, then I think you have to take that player. I wouldn't take AJ into consideration here other than it does give you roster flexibility. A year from now, you have an option.
You guys are troublemakers. Is what
you're talking about? No, because he has vision. He has vision.
Vision, yeah.
And here's what it is.
The other thing
we have no defensive players besides like five.
That's not true, number one. They have a lot of really good defensive
players.
How many defensive players can you count on their production right now? Carter. Bond.
Quinyon.
Cooper.
Reed Blankenship.
I guess.
Absolutely. You can absolutely count on really good starting safety play from Reed Blankenship.
Pretty good starting
safety. Bryce Huff.
No, I think really good. I think Reed's a really good starting safety. Yeah, and then there's Bryce Huff.
But, all right, so we got to Reed.
And Nolan.
I think Nolan's coming off a major injury.
No, Nolan Smith. Sorry.
Well, he is too, actually. He's coming off of the...
Yeah, coming off the
tricep.
Arm.
I think we've learned in the past year the tricep's not a major injury. It was a rough year for the stock of the tricep. No, like, everybody played on it.
But wait, but...
PG played on it, Nolan played on it.
It does change his offseason, though. Nolan Smith is not in the gym lifting right now. He's rehabbing an injury. It changes his offseason.
But he's probably here rehabbing, though.
I'm sure he is. I'm
not concerned about the recovery.
Watching a lot of film.
To be clear, I jumped the gun. I thought you said N'Kobe. Oh, yes. N'Kobe's coming off a major injury.
Yeah, yeah. No. Right, so we're
so Nolan, I agree with
if
you.
If we say Nolan, that's six. I mean, but to be fair, how many teams can you go on and say over half the starters you're going to get high level play from?
Well, probably not many, but that's
the point.
But
I'm
the Eagles were the best defense last year, and now we're unsure about half.
But who did they lose? They lost Darius Slay, Chauncey. So that's two.
Sweat Milton.
Milton was a good player for them. I think Milton's loss is being overstated a little bit.
Now,
like, Milton was a really good player, for sure. But let's not act like throughout the year we were singing Milton's praises of how much he was helping the defense.
We probably didn't do it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness.
For a reason. I mean, he is a rotational defensive tackle.
No, so I understand your point, but we're now, in this conversation about the receiver, we're going to take their best resource the whole offseason, because they didn't spend any money,
You're right.
And use it on not replacing any of those guys.
But
it just feels like it's illogical.
But I think that's a flawed way to look at it.
Well, are they trying to win the Super Bowl next year, or are they building a team for 3 years from
but
now?
I think that's also a flawed way to look at it.
Well,
I think
when
you draft, you have to take the best player. If you get into like, well, we have a need here, or we've spent too much on the offense, like that is how you miss. Like with Jalen Reagor, the miss of Jalen Reagor was in part because they went into that draft wanting a specific type of player. They wanted someone that could do what Jalen Reagor did, and obviously Reagor was not able to do that. So if they're sitting at 32 and they go, well, we can only count on six of our offensive defensive starters, like that's how you end up drafting someone that is not equipped to be that 32nd pick.
So while I agree with your premise, we all know that's not how this works. If the best player on the board's a quarterback, they're not taking a quarterback at the first round.
Yeah, but that's an extreme example.
But you just said best player.
Right, but we know that there's a difference there.
I know, but why? Yeah. But there could be a difference in offense, defense.
But the difference is the quarterback will not play. Like, I mean, barring injury, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you take a receiver, now I don't think he's going to get the ball a ton, but he at least can be out on the field, with right? So I just think, I get your point. I do think you're understating the talent on the defense, though. So a flaw in your whole point is that there is talent on the defense, but...
It's a thin defense. It's gone from a deep defense
I don't even know if that's true, though.
We just said we don't even know who Ajomo's backup...
How many teams...
Ajomo, who didn't play much last year, we don't know who his backup is.
How many teams can field a defense with better players than Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean? Like, there is elite talent on that defense. You're right, the backup defensive tackle isn't great, but how many teams have a great backup defensive tackle?
But you're setting. I don't even know who their starters
are. So
you're
setting the bar high.
Yeah, you're setting the bar. I think unrealistically high. We're not going to see many teams with the depth that the Eagles had last year.
I agree, but I'd like to replace some of that with their first round pick.
But if you reach for a defensive guy, that's how you end up with a miss.
Well, Howie could also trade up. I mean, you've mentioned this. Like,
I think they're more likely to trade up than out.
Okay,
proud of him though. Proud
because
of him.
He agrees with your offensive nonsense.
I'm just saying, it ain't even about him agreeing
nonsense.
With me.
Right.
We don't agree all the time.
No.
I'm just proud because he's grown right before our eyes.
Exactly.
Aren't you proud of him?
Well, I am. He's the Eagles
inside of
the
year.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
they
he had my
the
vote.
Belt from me.
Who stripped the belt?
Well, I won the belt, the WIP belt. I was correctly given the belt.
That was messed up.
Yeah,
I heard
and then
that,
just gave it to Ike.
Not cool.
They gave Ike the belt.
Yeah.
What?
Like,
why?
Again, I'm an Ike guy. Ike makes great points, but I was the one that held Sean McDermott's feet to the fire.
He did.
He the one that did that.
And I did that for the city of Philadelphia.
He did it for the city. He put on for the city.
Yes, for the team, for the fans.
I can't even believe McDermott's from here. He's a joke at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's a lame.
All right, Elliot, before we say goodbye, give me a name.
I have a draft hypothetical for you, actually.
Oh, you do that.
Would you trade every single pick that the Eagles own in this year's draft for Abdul Carter?
Everyone?
Yeah, so the first, the second, the third, the fourth, all the fives.
Not everyone, though?
Every pick. So you leave the draft with only Abdul Carter.
Hugh?
I tell you what.
That's a yes.
No, because see, here's the thing.
He's getting a long talk to it.
Bryce is not happy right now.
No, here's the thing. Aaron Maben came from Penn State, too. He wore number 11. Like, he's the outlier, because I think of LeVar Arrington.
Micah.
Yep.
And him. But Aaron Maben's the outlier.
So you're afraid he might not be all that?
No, because I remember Aaron Maben got drafted, and they when you look at all of them, similar body types, he's the outlier.
Right.
So no, you wouldn't do it.
I think he's saying yes.
No, well, no, he's saying he's.
But if he's that, if that player is the outlier, right, then more likely than not.
Yeah, yes or no? Player. Would you trade it all for Abdul?
Not all. I'm not all in the eggs in one basket guy.
Yes.
I would do it.
I would do it too.
You're really only talking about the first two picks. Because, like, all these fives, you know, like, well, they're just complete throws.
Could we get Sirianni and him on the cover of a magazine? One's wearing a wedding dress.
Ricky Williams. It is crazy. See, the only two times it's ever happened
Carter
was for
put
a
on a
back.
Wedding dress. I would not like that. That means he's prostituting himself.
He would not do the trade.
Definitely not. If you put on a wedding
dress, I'm in. I would trade it all for Abdul.
Do you think the top four team would take that? I think there's something about every pick that adds to more of the value than what they're actually worth.
Right. It's not just 1, 2, 3, and 5. It's the whole
It's like you
draft.
Get all the picks. Like, everyone's like, oh, how can I say no to that?
Well, I don't know who would do it. I mean, the Giants should do it.
Yeah, the Giants should do it.
Right. They're years away from
being
relevant.
Honestly, the Patriots should do it. Like, if you're
in
the top five,
yeah,
if you're not taking a quarterback, like.
The Browns should do it.
Yeah, of course.
The Browns are terrible.
The Browns taking Travis Hunter would be a massive mistake, by the way. He is not somebody in my opinion.
Oh, no, he's awesome.
He is. Whatever you think of him, he's not someone that is going to go and contribute, in my opinion, to a losing team.
Wait a second.
Like, he needs players around him. He needs smart coaches.
Agreed. But you are a guy that fancies himself as a potential GM, right?
Yeah, and I would not take Travis Hunter.
But I think you're missing the ultimate roster value he brings. It's two players in one.
First of all, he's not two players in one.
I think he is.
He is not going to play both sides of the football.
But he could.
We think. And my biggest concern with Travis... Well, he did it. He did it in Colorado in college. A lot of people do things in college they don't do in the NFL.
But no one does this. I mean, this is pretty rare.
But I would rather have someone that's great at one thing than, like, really good at two things. Like, I think in the NFL...
If he's a star corner and a good receiver, he's instantly one of the most valuable players in the league.
In my opinion, he will not play both sides of the ball effectively.
Why?
I just think it's impossible to do.
They said this about Shohei Ohtani. Look at him.
What meeting room are you in throughout the week? What positional things are you practicing? What game plan are you learning? All that on his plate?
He'd have to do one as full-time and the other one as a part-time.
Right, so you're not really getting two players. You're getting one player and someone that takes a few snaps on offense.
But wait, but what if he is a star corner and your slot receiver?
He can't be your slot receiver.
Yes, he can.
He's going to learn the offense and defensive playbook. He's going to practice with both units. He's going to be in both meeting rooms.
I'm just saying, if I had a bad team, I would take the shot on him.
Because I would absolutely not. If I was him, he will only succeed on a great team that can use him properly.
Then the Eagles should trade up for him.
Look, he would be awesome on the Eagles because they're a smart team that doesn't really have many holes. But to go on a top five team, I think it is a waste of a draft pick.
You in on Travis Hunter, Hugh? I think he's awesome.
I think, like, to Elliot's point, what is he going to play? Because you're talking about two different
needs.
How much do you think the during the week thing matters that I brought up? Like, what meeting room is he in?
I think if you were asking me and I'm the coach, he's probably going to be more corner.
I think he's a corner that's going to play some receiver.
But as a former player, my question is, like, you play defensive end. What if you also played fullback? Like, how hard would it be to, you're in the meeting. Now, fullback's not a hard position, but, like, you know.
Wow, just a shot at Richie live on the air.
I mean, it is because you have
kidding,
to know.
I'm kidding.
But you have to know the formations. You have to know the check
right
down. You have to know all that. That's a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're a slot receiver, you can say it's not a big role because you're the three, but you still have to know the entire
playbook, you got to know all the
checks. You have to be in the meetings throughout the week. You have to practice with the quarterback.
I've seen a lot of third Eagles receivers that if they, like, he can't do what Alameda Zacchaeus did two years ago here. Or
I think it's
Watkins.
Harder to do. It's not about the production. It's about learning everything he would have to do.
Right, but in this offense or a lot of offenses, the third receiver sometimes is just there to kind of run a fly pattern down the field. Like, he's not the primary guy. I agree with you. I don't think he's a primary corner and receiver. That feels impossible.
But then he's not two guys. Like, you're really just talking about filling up a role that we agree is not important. Like, I don't think when people talk about Travis Hunter, they don't say, you're going to get Quinyon Mitchell and Alameda Zacchaeus.
Well, no, but to me, it is important. You guys want to use a first-round pick on a third receiver.
I want to use a first-round pick on a receiver to be a quality backup in case someone goes down.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'm a Hunter guy. You're obviously...
Well, I'm just letting you know, when I'm GM, I'm not drafting.
Well, you're missing
unless
out.
Unless I'm 25 plus, like 25th
this
pick
guy's
good.
This guy might be the best player in the draft.
We'll see. I'm not convinced.
All right. I am with you on Abdul. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. You clearly have your draft season hat on. You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm excited for draft night.
Well, I am too. It's going to be fun. All right. 215-592-9494. For Elliot, we appreciate it.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Well, it is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, as we do every week around noon. And for us, we're halfway through this day. For Scott, I don't know how long his day's been going on. It seems like pretty long, because it didn't end. Last night didn't end for a while. 12:50-ish last night. That game ended, unfortunately, a loss to the Phillies. Scott Fransky brought to us by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, good morning, good afternoon, whatever you're feeling right now. How you doing?
I have no idea what I'm feeling right now. Yeah, it was a long night, for sure, for sure. I think we probably all hit our pillows about 5 a.m. Eastern in St. Louis.
I'm sorry, Scott, but what do you do? What do the guys do? Because that was like a 2 or 3 hour late, like just downtime, right? What goes on? How do you stay locked in when you had that much time to wait for the game to start back up?
You know, you kind of wander around, talk to a lot of people in the press box, you know. Call home, do Cardinals prep. I mean, you know, you literally you just kind of hang out, you know, and just wait for the game to restart. There's not a whole lot you can do. It's totally out of your control. So just kind of hang out and grin and bear it.
Yeah, Joe, that was one of the first things. I'm like, dang, what are they doing?
That's
a long time to wait. And that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, it was a long wait. Unfortunately, the loss afterwards. Scott, let's talk about a lot of things going on with the team right now. We'll start with the good from last night and the season so far. Scott, Jesus Luzardo continues to stack these good starts together. It really feels like he's certainly healthy, and he looks like the guy he did a couple years ago, and that was against Dodgers last week and now the Braves this week. It's a couple good opponents there.
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't think he was necessarily as sharp last night, but I thought he really battled and I love the acquisition at the time, and he's done nothing to dissuade me of that opinion. He's been fantastic so far. And I think the other really bright spot from last night was Jordan Romano, because he looked a whole lot more like you expect him to look. He looked like he was really letting it go. Velocity was there, command was there, slider had good bite. I mean, he really to me, that was, you know, because, I mean, he was a big question mark, I think, over his first few outings. So the fact that he pitched so well in his inning last night, I thought was also really encouraging.
Yeah, I did too. And the bullpen, you know, was pretty good last night, all things considered. Obviously, the game-winning home run against the bullpen, but they pitched enough that you feel like, all right, that was a pretty good night. Scott, let's talk about a couple things that aren't going as great right now, specifically Alec Bohm, who was dropped in the order last night. What do you make of where the Phillies are with Bohm? Because I thought they had to do what they did. Now, it didn't get him going last night. Maybe it will this weekend. But I thought it was the right move by Topper there, Scott, to take a little pressure off of him, get him out of the three or four spot. What's your thought on what they did last night and then where they're at with Bohm right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that Rob had sort of kicked around for a couple of days. You know, I don't think he's necessarily having bad at bats. You know, he's swinging at strikes. It's not like he's chasing balls out of the zone or swinging at bad pitches. He has hit into a little bit of bad luck. Obviously, you know, if he's going to hit in the middle of the lineup, three or four, where he was, you're looking for production. And I think the most dramatic thing for me has been a lack of production, you know, when there's runners in scoring position, because that's a spot where Bohm has just thrived over the last few years. And I know people get on him, you know, they're like, oh, he's, you know, first, you know, the one pitch at bat and all this stuff. But, you know, he's hit well over 300 for his career when putting the first pitch in play. So it's an approach that's worked for him year after year after year. So I don't fault him for that necessarily, as long as he's swinging at good pitches, which I think generally he is. The four hole is a real issue right now. Because if you look at what the cleanup hitters have done for the Phillies, outside of the couple of games that Schwarber has hit fourth, it's been basically nothing. I think it's 2 for 36 now, two singles and one RBI. And that's obviously not going to get it done. And we saw last night, Brian Snitker, he's not going to mess around. He's going to put Bryce on, and teams are going to do that over and over and over again until somebody delivers in the fourth spot.
Scott, do you think at some point, I think I heard you guys last night talking about the numbers there, like if you take Schwarber's few at-bats in the four hole out, it's remarkably bad how bad the four spot has been behind Bryce Harper. Scott, do you think at some point, if this continues, Topper would consider more of a regular lineup with Turner 1, Harper 2, Schwarber 4, and then you try to figure out 3 just to have that Schwarber protection behind Harper a couple spots behind?
I think it's possible, but, you know, I mean, he's going to keep trying different things to see if he can't get this offense started. You know, I mean, it may be just a weird coincidence, small sample, whatever, but, you know, a guy like Nick Castellanos, he was really swinging the bat well, and he was having good at-bats, and then last night happened, you know, when he's in the four hole, and he gets all these chances and can't deliver. I think it's not outside the realm of possibilities, what you're suggesting. But I don't know that he's there quite yet.
You know, Scott, I have a question for you because Taijuan Walker, the last two outs that he's been out there, looks pretty good. And I know we still got some time before Ranger comes back. But if that was to happen this weekend, say if Ranger was ready, what would you do? Would you put Ranger in the bullpen or would you put Taijuan in the bullpen? How would you handle that situation between those two?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, when that day arrives, I think they'll have to make a decision. I would think Ranger would go back in the rotation. There's obviously people, you know, kind of dreaming on what things would look like, you know, come late in the season in October, and Andrew Painter's part of the mix. And I think it's a real long shot that Painter would be a bullpen piece, just because they're going to protect him. I think it would be much more likely that he remains in the rotation. You know, if he's successful and they feel like he's one of his best three or four starters, I think he would just stay there. I don't think they would tempt fate and use him out of the pen in a role he's never had. So in that regard, you know, Ranger seems like an obvious fit because he's done the bullpen thing before in his career. So, but I don't know. I tend to think Ranger will go in the rotation, and then Walker would slide back to the bullpen.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. The Phillies leave Atlanta early this morning, whatever you want to call it. They're in St. Louis now for a series starting tonight against the Cardinals. All right, Scott, tonight is an Aaron Nola night, and I feel like his relative struggles the first couple starts have fallen on the radar compared to the other things that maybe people are a little worried about. What have you noticed with Nola so far? I didn't think he was bad last week against the Dodgers, but He did give up more home run. I mean, the home run ball is always an issue with Aaron Nola. Last week, they happened to drop that game. What do you think after Nola's first two starts and where he is right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's that far off, honestly. I don't think, you know, he didn't really have his great velo, and we've seen that from a couple of guys. You know, Wheeler didn't have his great velo last time. And maybe there's a little bit of a lull arm-wise, you know, kind of getting ramped up, cold weather, getting out of spring training, things like that. But I don't think, I don't worry too much about Nola. Is he the same guy? Maybe he was a few years ago. No, but that doesn't mean he can't be, a really good middle-of-the-rotation starter for you. So I do, I'm not terribly concerned about it. I'm thankful he got out early last night and didn't have to, land at 4 a.m. They flew him. It was kind of a last-minute decision, but once the weather was cropping up, they kind of convinced him and said, hey, why don't you go on to St. Louis and get a good night's rest? So he did just that. So hopefully he'll be a little fresher than the rest of us tonight.
Well, it'd be hard not to be, because that was certainly a long night. Scott, the bullpen overall, last night again, it was better. Unfortunately, Ross gave up the home run late. But what do you think is where a Topper might go to get some outs here beyond just the first few guys? Joe Ross had more leverage spots the last couple days. Do you think that could be the way? Maybe more Ruiz? Because it feels to me like they have been in a lot of close games, and they keep using the same three or four guys. It feels to me like they need someone else to kind of emerge as a leverage guy for them.
Yeah, and, Romano was down for a couple of days and trying to figure a few things out. And like I said before, it looks like he did last night. So that's really encouraging. You're right. They used Carlos Hernandez coming out of the rain delay last night, a guy who hadn't pitched in almost 2 weeks. And, I don't care how good your starting staff is, you still need to have a bullpen there that can back them up. And that means using, in today's game, that means using everybody. So they're going to have to lean on the likes of Ruiz. And, they feel like Strom's getting stronger, that they can possibly use him a little bit more. Banks was encouraging last night, getting through his inning. That was good. So I think you have to, I know we focus in on the top two or three guys a lot in the bullpen, but you're going to have to use everybody. And I think they're in a spot right now. Early in the season, there's no off days here for the next 10 days or so. Everybody's going to have to, pull their weight and get their chances. But I definitely think Ruiz is a possibility for a little more leverage here going forward.
Scott, we appreciate, as always. Get a little rest if you need it, and we'll be listening
tonight.
Get
a lot of rest.
8:15 Eastern, first pitch, Phillies at Cardinals. Thank you, Scott.
All right, see you guys. Take
there
care.
There you go. Scott Fransky, who had a long night. Man, getting in at 5 a.m., that's a long night.
That's a long night.
So I was actually surprised that they kept playing last night.
Because, I didn't think they were going to play.
Because it's one thing if they're in Colorado, they go there once, right? Like, mm-hmm. You got to have to kind of finish that game, otherwise you don't go back. They go back to Atlanta two more times this season.
I was thinking that. I was wondering if you could have made this game up, but I guess they said, you know what? We can get this game in.
So you could suspend the game and then pick it up where you were, right?
Yeah.
Before the next time they play. Now, I was wondering if someone had taken the lead, they could have just ended it, right? They could have called it a rain-shortened Phillies win 2-1 game, but it was 1-1. Like, the rain hit at the worst time for the rain delay. Did you have plans to try to make it through the night and then you fell asleep, or did you just say, I'm out?
I
thought I could make it. And
I
then,
thought I was too, and then I laid down.
Too old.
Yeah. And then how you look at your clock.
Yeah.
You look at the phone.
Yep.
And I thought it said Phillies won, and I was like, oh, I'll wear my Philly shirt today. I'm representing.
And they did not win. No, it didn't work. Yeah, I had plans. I was like, they're going to restart 11:30. I'll finish this out. And then I
Thursday hits different, though.
What does?
Thursday.
Well, we're at the end of the week now.
Yeah.
Kyle, did you have grand plans to make it?
Well, so, yeah, I was planning on staying up the entire time. I'm like, man, they said they're going to resume at, what, 11:30?
Yeah,
they said, I'm like, I can make it to 11:30. It got to 11:30, and I was like, oh, that's right. Like, I'm washed. And it's not just making it to 11:30.
You've got to make it the whole way.
It's making it the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I set my sights on 11:30 when I really should have set my sights on like 12:30.
When I woke up and I saw it took another hour and a half to finish, I felt good. Like, I would have been disappointed if it ended like quickly, like within a half hour. I never would have made it to 1 a.m.
I'm washed up, man.
Yeah, we're too old for that. 215-592-9494. That's it. Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. I haven't checked the Twitter poll today on this to see what people want when it comes to Abdul Carter. My guess, though, is people are being, are they afraid? Are they soft on this one? Are they being Hugh Douglas's? Are they being do-nothing Douglases? Would you trade away the Eagles' entire draft to move up and get Abdul Carter? 64% said no.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a win for you, I guess, Hugh.
Well, I'm not about to, you know, take a victory.
Well, you can if you want.
No, I mean, it's not.
I mean, you could say you made a good argument.
I feel like
it's ridiculous. But
I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's crazy like a fox.
See,
it is crazy like a fox. I give you that, but it's just like I'm not. You know, I don't like to take
this
risks.
This is not a victory
I'm
for
risk
you, Douglas.
Adverse.
You think there's a lot more you thought that would say yes?
It's a huge moral victory for us.
36% is not bad.
That's not bad at all for trading an entire draft
for a player.
I ripped off on Kyle on two fronts. Kyle's a lot more petty than he used to be.
I actually thought this would be 80-20. I thought it'd be 80-20. You actually did a bad job.
And Twitter beef Kyle. I like Twitter. You used the Twitter beef Kyle?
Twitter fingers Quinn.
Twitter fingers Quinn. I like
that
guy.
Step away from the Twitter.
He did a good job, though. He did way better than me because he stepped away early from the Twitter beef.
Unlike you, who do
I push all in.
In like a lion, out like a lamb, baby.
Yeah, I push us all the way in. I didn't, yeah. I might leave that because y'all don't want to see the beef, but I be beefing.
Yeah, you're a beefer.
Yeah, I beef.
215-592-9494.
I do love Twitter fingers, Hugh.
Yeah, beef is what's for dinner.
He shows up every couple weeks, and he does his thing. You good?
Yeah, because I don't know the boss might be listening. Yeah. I don't want to. Be too forthcoming.
This is one of my favorite Hughes. When he thinks he has to act different when Rod Lakin is literally in the building. When he's not here, he doesn't have the internet. Can't see anything Hughes doing.
Yeah, like he can't just look at the
internet. It doesn't matter if he's there or
he's living in the 19th century.
I know, it's nuts. All right, let's go to Steve in Newark. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hi. Long time listener, first time caller.
We appreciate that. Steve, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I heard this premise. I was driving around with my wife, and I'm like, that's crazy. You know, I agree with you. You know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. And then I started thinking about it. Like, well, what team would even want to make this trade with the Eagles, you know, if you're Cleveland? If you look at the trade value chart, you know, the old Jim Johnson chart, Eagles have nowhere near enough capital here to make this trade.
So the way you're saying it is, I haven't offered enough.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, if you're the Eagles, you'd say, sure, it's worth it. You know, we're going way above where we should be able to get to. If you look at the numbers, we should only be able to trade up to like number 14, not all the way up to number 2.
Well, Steve, that's part of, because, and that's was part of what I was saying earlier is people were, I think when the way I said it, the way people hear it, the reality is you're trading the whole draft. It sounds strong, but four of those picks are fifth round picks. They really have very little value.
So this is why you see teams have to trade. You know, you've mentioned several trades along the way here. You know, like Trey Lance or whatever. Mm-hmm. Teams have to trade multiple firsts.
Right.
You know, like future firsts and seconds to get enough value to move up that high.
So here's what we would need. Like, as you mentioned, the Browns and Giants are pretty dumb. Yeah. Maybe we can fleece them. They're pretty dumb teams. I mean, that would help.
Yeah.
Pretty dumb.
Although my other thought was, why would you do it with the Giants? Because you don't want to give your divisional opponent, you know, that many extra chances to, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. But do we want to give them Abdul Carter? I mean.
I'd love to have Abdul Carter on the Eagles. That would be awesome. I'd also love to have Micah Parsons go free agent next year and Eagles sign him. But, you know, that probably isn't going to happen either.
Probably not. No, you know, it's a good point to bring up with the trade value chart. How about that, Kyle? What we're offering is not even enough. We're getting a bargain here. And we got do-nothing Douglas over here.
It's unbelievable.
Nuts.
Yeah. I mean, Eagles have like 1,100 points, and that Cleveland pick is worth 2,600. You know.
Seems to me like a bargain. I'm even more in. Steve,
for Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, now we're getting a deal here. Steve, what's your meal for the Masters? What do you got?
I don't know, man. I'm pretty plain. I was thinking something like like a little sushi appetizer, and then I'm a steak and potatoes guy. So you know, filet, baked potato, salad, some nice homemade baked beans, and maybe a homemade blueberry pie.
I haven't had baked beans in a while.
Ooh, the homemade blueberry pie, that hits though. Steve, good phone call.
With like fresh whipped cream.
Oh, now we're talking.
Blueberry.
I think people would like.
Blueberry
pie? Yeah, what's wrong with blueberry pie?
I'm not a fan. But
on blueberries?
Yeah, blueberry. Strawberry pie now.
I think more people would have blueberry pie than strawberry pie.
Mm.
I mean, I like strawberries. But
I might say something crazy. Out on both.
Are you not a pie person?
I love pie.
But I've got...
hold on. Well, then what... I regret this. What
Dude,
pie?
Like an apple pie.
Apple pie. Yeah. Apple pie is a king pie.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a top pie.
Yeah. No, I don't like...
Are you in on pumpkin?
I'm on berries, I think.
Are you in on pumpkin?
No, God, no.
Oh, come on.
No.
Well, how many pies do you like then? Apple? You don't like berry pie. You don't like pumpkin pie. You just sound like an apple pie guy then. Like
meat pie?
No, that's not a pie.
Yes, it is.
Well, no, but when you talk pie, you're talking dessert. Funny? How old are you?
Listen, care to share? Care to share with the class?
No, don't ask me no questions that you don't want the answer to.
I do want the answer.
You're a talk show host. Nah. You got something to say, you got to say it.
Nah, this might be in
trouble. You've been doing this a lot more lately.
I know. He like thinks this is funny.
No, it's a self-edit. Listen, I look at it like this.
What's your
favorite
pie?
I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that people have been listening to this show long enough to know when I just start randomly laughing about things that come out of your mouth, they probably know where I'm going. Because I'm childish.
Immature.
Very immature. 53-year-old immature ass working on the radio. Every day.
I think the blueberry pie with the homemade whipped cream sounds good. I mean, I think that was a good meal he presented there with the sushi.
What is meat pie? What is it, like beef?
It's like minced meat.
Okay.
But it's not a dessert pie. It's more of a meal.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
It's not a dessert pie. It's meat.
Well, I know, but not when we were talking, he was referencing a dessert. Like, no one's going to say, I want chicken pot pie for dessert.
Well, you asked me what kind of pies I like.
I know, but I think there's a separate category for savory pie.
It's called pie.
Savory pie is crazy.
Savory pie is
delicious.
It's a whole different ball game than the dessert pie.
I'd rather eat a savory pie than a dessert. I'm more of a savory over sweet guy.
I can tell. You usually say no to desserts when they're out here.
Savory pie?
Yeah.
Are you going to be all right over there? You're not.
What are you, 12?
Man, we've lost you for the day. He's gone.
Lather Vaseline on me.
We're just trying to have an adult conversation about pie.
That's just so hard sometimes on a Friday.
I think I know where your head's at.
What are you talking about?
And it's very, we should childish. Move away as quickly as possible.
It's ridiculous. Let's go to Terrence this week. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Took you long enough.
Terrence, what's up?
Hey, first of all, I'm going to touch on the Phils. I feel like even in that rain delay, I feel like we still ain't have no energy. Like, we let the lowly Braves beat us in the series. And, like, I feel like right now, Schwarber is our best player by far. And to me, Harper's hurt. I love Harper. But I feel like so far this season has been kind of mediocre to start off the season. Like, you know, he's kind of eh. You know, I feel like I got to pick up his pace and his energy also. So right now in the Phillies, I feel like going into St. Louis, I hope that rain delay, you know, they hope they're not tired going to St. Louis, and, you know, I'm going there and get beat down by the Cardinals. So I hope that don't factor into this. But I feel like right now Schwarber is by far the best player on this team.
Terrence, he has been. Yeah, and as far as Harper goes, I think that's probably a fair way to put it. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been great. He got that home run 2 nights ago was huge. He had the home run in Washington. But I'd say for the most part, it's been okay so far, like not his best. I think part of it, though, Terrence, is teams are not pitching him right now. He got walked 3 times last night. The teams don't want to give in to him, so I hope he doesn't get frustrated and start chasing, because it might continue here where they don't want to pitch to him.
Yeah, but and that's where Cassie and the other guys got to pick it up.
Yep.
0-5, man. It's not cutting. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we talk all this talk. We had the season before this where our bats going cold. I feel like, to tell you the truth, I feel like our bats really ain't been all that hot this season, to start off the season.
No, they haven't. I mean, I think they've had some run scoring explosion days, but not, like, consistently great, no.
Nah. Well, let's get down to business. I want Carter. Let's bring him over here.
See, now we're talking. Chess, not checkers. Hugh's playing checkers today.
Let's play some chess here. Howie Ardelet has the defense go, Joe. And to me, the ball's in Howie's court. Howie told us to have patience, right? So I feel like us repeating, it's going to rely on Howie Roseman, because he's the one that let all these guys go. And we're going to see what he does in the draft and, you know, before the season and all that. But this repeat thing, I heard Jeffrey Lurie talk about, he's even hungrier. Well, you got to talk to your boy. Talk to Howie. You know, he got hit with that soda can on the parade. You let half the defense go. Talk to your boy. You can't just say you're hungry for another championship and half your defense is gone. Like, what are we talking about? Jeffrey Lurie, we're like, what are we talking about, really? Like, if you're hungry, we got to get this defense resolved, because right now we have four to starters on here. We left, like, seven guys on defense.
I mean, we're thin. I mean, when I looked at the depth chart the other day, they didn't even have a backup to Mauro Giomo, who was a backup last year.
Like,
we're thin.
Go get a star. Go get Carter, man. Like, we need somebody on the edge, because we don't know how these other guys are going to produce with Jalen Carter. You know, Milton Williams is sweat been here for a while. So Sweat was a veteran.
Yep.
Milton was a veteran. These other guys, they've been in that role before, so we don't know how they're going to produce. And it might put more pressure on Carter. It might let Carter, you know, to work harder for what he does. And to me, I think he should bring Carter over here. Cause, well, like, what are we doing? We're playing chess, Joe. We're playing chess.
Nah, we need chess, not checkers, Douglas, over here. All right, Terrence, what do you got for us? What's your meal at the Master?
I heard my man say the Chinese buffet, but I was going to say all-you-can-eat buffet with some brisket, some steak. You got a variety of meat, some ribs, some baby back ribs. You got your cauliflower with the cheese crusted on top.
Ooh, now we're talking.
You got some mashed potatoes.
Yep.
You know, some, you got some lobster. We even got some vegan for you, Joe.
Oh, this is great stuff. Plate. Well, I'm a cauliflower guy. Terrence, I like this one. All right, the all-you-can-eat buffet.
For dessert, we're going to go with strawberry cake, chocolate cake. Coconut
cakes.
Different cakes.
Variety. Cakes, man.
A plethora
of cakes.
Plethora cakes. Plethora, baby.
I like it, Terrence. All right, Terrence has got the all-you-can-eat buffet there.
It still blows my mind that they got Luther Vandross to sing this. That man, it was the God rest his soul. He was so talented. Why they do him like this?
Well, no tournament ends without this. And you know what? We may have our own version of this cooked up by the end of the show. Welcome back, Midday Show, as we crown a champion in the bracket of Hughes. Florida won the NCAA tournament. And we're going to find out before the end of the show today who wins. Told you so, Douglas, or Long Talking Hugh. 215-592-9494. Your chance to vote. All things Eagles with a draft. Would you rather trade the picks for vets or just go young like Hugh Douglas wants? And with the Alec Bohm thing, I do expect him in the lineup tonight. But my patience is totally worn thin with Alec Bohm. He'll play tonight against a lefty. And if I don't like the at-bats, I don't want him in the lineup tomorrow.
If I don't like him.
If I don't like the at-bats.
I don't like
if
him.
He, all right, let's put
what
it this way.
If they're ugly, but they're productive.
So like he swings the first pitch every time but gets a couple hits?
Well, he gets a couple hits, yeah. Because, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
It's the principle. If he swings
Joe.
No, wait a second. If he swings the first pitch every time tonight, you're cool with that?
No, I'm saying if he's productive. Like,
no,
say he gets four at-bats, he has two. He has one home run.
Right. But
and one in the gap.
Is he swinging at the first pitch every time?
If he is and he gets that, are you okay with that?
No. It's the principle.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like,
I get what you're saying.
No,
like you dodged the bullet today,
yeah.
But what about tomorrow?
Right,
I got
like,
you.
Like obviously I'd be happy with the production in the moment. That's good. A home run's good. It's almost like if someone takes a bad shot in basketball but it goes in, or
yeah.
A quarterback throws across
shoot
his body
yeah.
And it's a completion,
you.
But
like,
you're like
all the bad fundamental happen. Yeah,
yeah. Like what are we doing here? Like
we
talked about this, Alec. We talked about it for 4 hours today on WIP. You didn't get the situation. All right, 215-592-9494. We did have a caller earlier. I think it was Self on Aaron Nola, hitting the panic button on him, wants us to get on Nola. I am not happy with all the home runs he's given up. We'll see where this goes. I do think Nola's probably transitioning from top of the rotation guy to mid or back of the rotation guy as we progress. But all right, let's see where he goes. Yesterday afternoon show, they were talking about Nola and his velocity.
It was actually Romano.
Sorry. It was Romano.
Romano. Is it Romano?
Now Nola's velocity is down too. That's why my head was going there. But Romano's velocity, now that's a problem because he stinks right now. Anyway, just the real point is the analogy that's made here.
It's terrible.
Listen
Can't
to this. Ben Davis yesterday talking about Romano, his struggles, velocity, and just listen to this.
Is there something that you're seeing in his delivery that might be the cause of that? He seems to be searching for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Father Time is undefeated. You know, he strung together some really good years. He had 100 saves over a 3-year span with the Blue Jays. I just think, you know, this is a different environment for him. It's a different market. He's on a team now with, you know, all stars and MVPs, and maybe he's just trying a little bit too hard. The one thing, you know, Hugh Douglas always in the Midday Show, he always talks about, what does he say? Defense is a luxury. It's not a necessity. Well, I think with, you know, pitching, I think velocity is a luxury. It's not a necessity. He's not locating his fastball whatsoever.
Are you proud of yourself?
This is a disaster.
What do you mean?
He quoted you like you're Walt Whitman.
That by the cow.
Your ridiculous takes have now gone.
It's not a ridiculous
take. It's now morphed into baseball. You're in Ben Davis's head.
No,
take Ben seriously anymore.
No, you know what it is? It's because y'all don't see the vision of what I was saying. Y'all just got caught on the fact that I said defense was luxury, not excessive. Like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about.
Because it's a joke.
It's not a joke.
It is.
It's not. Okay. It's not.
So, but now you have Ben, who used to catch, telling us that velocity is a luxury, not a necessity. You know who- and I actually think in that, there is something to that. Greg Maddux didn't have great velocity. Jamie Moore didn't have great velocity.
That's what I was about to say. But junk ball pitcher.
It does help. Right? Like
it helps tremendously.
Yeah, like Zach Wheeler pumping 97 helps. Lizardo pumping 98 helps.
You know what? You know what I'll never forget that Jimmy Rollins told me, because I remember when he was playing, I asked him. I said, man, because Jamie was about 60 when he was pitching here. He was older. He was about 45 or something like that.
He was your age.
Yeah, basically. And I said, dog, how is he able to pitch for as long as he's going to pitch? He said, Hugh, the problem is you see it, but it has so much movement on it. And he said, you'll think you got it lined up. And then he said it'll just drop. Mm. And a lot of times, Jamie Moore would be out there on the mound throwing 85, you know, taking his time, and nobody could hit it. So there is something to that, because we're in this age now, and I do know this. If you're throwing heat, if you're throwing something that nobody can see, then you're going to probably pitch in the majors. If you're throwing 95, 98, 100 miles an hour, because nobody can see that, so you really don't have to pitch. Now, what they call it, when you get a little older and the velocity goes down and you got to start painting the corners a little bit and you're being a little bit more deceptive, that's when, you know, sometimes it's a benefit for some pitchers, and some pitchers adapt to that.
It's all about results. I mean, that's the reality, right? So, like, no one cares about Aaron Nola's velocity until he starts to struggle, and they're like, oh, yeah, he doesn't throw hard. I don't care if Romano throws 109 or 60. His ERA is 15.7 right now. The problem is he's getting smacked around.
Yep. So you feel good that Ben Davis quoted you with the
I feel like whatever I say, I'm going to be attacked.
Well, there's more to it. Let's play the rest of the audio as they reacted.
Because I already heard the snippiness from somebody. It sounded like Ike was being a little snippy.
Well, let's listen to what happened after this. Here it is.
Independent of that great analysis and that analogy you could use for parallel with Hugh Douglas's terrible analogy about the
world being a luxury. It gets personal around these parts.
Well,
man.
Someone had to stand up for defense.
And listen, let me just say this, because somebody said I'm a rabble rouser. I like to start fights. I don't start fights.
No, that's you.
I just have an opinion.
You poke, though.
I don't. Well, okay, maybe a little bit, because I have an opinion that most people don't agree with, and they just get, you know, I can't help it if y'all, you know, some people get beside themselves and get a little bit upset.
No one is bad if someone walks outside and says the sky is green and the grass is blue. But you giggle and laugh like, told you.
That's what.
That sky? So, it's green. So wait a minute. And that grass is blue. So, and I'm sitting there like, what are you talking
about? It's the giggling. It's that way.
Well, no, because you double down on being wrong.
I'm not doubling down. It's just the way that I see things. I see it differently than everybody else. And for a lot of people, they just can't relate to that. Like, people.
Say that earnest again.
Man, you can't relate to it. That's why when I got here, I had so much respect for Elliot Shore Parks, because Elliot, you know, the insider of the year, by the way, believes in everything that he says. Even if I remember looking at Elliot sometime when he would say something, I'd be like, seriously?
This is the guy that wants college athletes to be able to gamble on themselves, or players to gamble on themselves, college athletes to stay for 20 years. Domes on every stadium.
Basketball? I think it was from Carolina somewhere where he played. He was like 25 or 26, and he had like a whole family.
Yeah, they got to stop that.
A whole family. You got to believe in what you say, man. And sometimes it might not be what everybody else wants to hear, but it's the truth that needs to be told.
I agree with that, but we also need to keep you in line.
Yeah, if it's the truth.
No, I'm saying. I'm saying, but it's never. And I just want people to know that's listening to the show. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody in here ever mad at anybody. Well, it might sound like that to you because you don't know no better.
Except Kyle's mad sometimes.
Except with Kyle. I just think it's funny that Kyle is such a diehard fan that he gets beside himself sometimes. Mm-hmm. He don't be mad, man. He just be beside himself.
You know what? Shut up.
I just a quote that I saw from the YouTube comments. Mm-hmm. You know it's bad when Hugh Douglas is being quoted.
That's a good one.
Hey,
things have gotten off the rails.
Hey, whoever said that, thank you very much.
No, I don't think it was meant as a compliment.
No, it was a compliment.
You know it's bad.
It was. It's not bad. But
it's
not bad.
They said you know
because
it's bad.
You know what's funny?
Now we're misquoting that.
Do you know
it's bad when
it's
you're
the spin, man.
No, it's not the spin.
That's not the quote.
You know what's funny, though? is
the
when
the guy ripped you and you said thank you.
Well, because he
and then you spun it into a compliment.
Because it was a compliment.
It was not.
It was. Because let me tell you why. This whole defense is a luxury, not a necessity thing has lived in people's head rent-free for how many years? Three.
Too many.
3 years.
Too many.
To the point where some won't admit it, because y'all see it, but y'all won't admit it.
Oh, boy.
You see where I was coming from when I said it, by some of the simple moves that have been made
so
this offseason.
I do see where you were coming from.
Yeah.
And that's been established this offseason with some of the NFL moves, not just the Eagles, Bengals, and all that. But we buried this take. We had a funeral.
And it was resurrected like the phoenix.
And it was
it
not.
Wasn't.
It was.
No.
It wasn't.
I mean, it really was.
Mm.
I mean, because there's too many examples, exhibit A's, B's, C's, and D's, of exactly what I was talking
My
about.
My favorite thing is you ignore they won the Super Bowl with the best defense in franchise history.
They let six people go.
Well, maybe they made a mistake.
And they signed.
Yeah.
They gave the running back. That they already gave money to.
Mistake.
More money.
Mistake.
And then they went out and got another running back.
I,
and we've done two mock drafts where they've drafted two offensive players.
And this is emboldening you. To
I'm just saying, it's just, it okay. just, it's not emboldening me. I can't even say it. It's not emboldening me. it is what it is. And people, you know what the worst part about it? Because there were people who died in the war that hated that take that I had. And when they see it, they're like, you know what? He got a point.
It's not that people hated the
Thank
take.
You, Ben. No. Thank you, Ben, because Ben C. Well, and this guy, you ain't got to shoot me the dirty looks, dog. I mean, it is what it
it's
is.
It's not. No, don't thank Ben. Ben, what? Ben, we're disappointed in you. Ben, I'm disappointed in you. The problem is that
I couldn't help it. He put him in his place immediately.
It'd be your old people, man. I can't believe it.
The problem is, you know, it's not the take. It's that you spit in the face of everything that this town believes in, which is defense.
See, it's
Hugh.
Again, people can't.
Defensive
truth.
People like myself and Ike Reese and our callers, they get it. You forgot your roots.
No, I didn't.
That,
I just looked at it for like what it is.
You forgot where you came from. That's what happened on
the
show.
I'll never forget where I came from.
Well, you. I mean, at one point, the stats say you had 80 sacks. I think we need to go review the tape on all those. I think the numbers are fudged.
Well, he loses the sack.
Skewed.
Let's go to Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on, fellas?
A lot,
What's up,
Tyler.
Tyler.
I mean, you know, Hugh is just he's out of control.
My fellow Delawarean.
Now, he's upset at you. He's tired of you, Hugh.
He is? Yeah. I'm Tyler mad. He'll be all right next week, though, once I drop this knowledge on him. What's up, Tyler? What you got? What you mad at me for now?
Hey, knowledge without college, like you know who.
No, man. Come
on. Hey, just in the meantime, while I've been on hold, because I had a nail in my tire, so I've been hearing it in the shop, but I'm all good now, but we've gotten High Roller Hugh, Sausage Hugh, and Rabble Rouser Douglas. I've been on hold.
Sausage Hugh might make a run next year.
I mean, it was so good, I had to write the quote down. Don't nobody care how the sausage was made. You just make the sausage.
That didn't fit nothing.
That is line of the year right now from you, Hugh.
Yep.
Didn't fit enough.
And then Joe saying, yeah, but some sausage is better than others. I was dying laughing in the car, y'all. I was like, yeah.
They got thick wood heart.
Number one show in the U.S. of A. from 10 a lot of to girth. 2, I tell you.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I just had to put that out there. I would have rolled him until he told me, no. Nah, you're a cow on the run, huh? And slather Vaseline on me. See, it ain't that funny. Joe, why are you laughing so hard? It ain't that funny.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I'm telling you, once you put the dime in the jukebox, brother, you got to let the whole thing
It ain't that funny. Kyle ain't that funny, man.
The Vaseline gets me every time.
Ain't that funny, man.
Oh, man. Well, hey, for my 2 points before I give y'all my vote, on the Eagles, I'm lockstep with Kyle that if you lose a lot on defense and they keep flooding all these young guys on the defensive side of the ball, you need guys who've been there, done that before, who bring a sense of leadership that are going to take them young bucks under their wing. Pass along the knowledge that they've learned when they were in their shoes to help guide them. Because if you just throw a whole bunch of young guys on the same team, you're not going to have that same sort of consistency, that same type of fervor that you just saw from this defense this past season. I mean, that's why they were so good.
I disagree, but continue.
Was that they were such a cohesive unit.
And they had a good mix. Some vets like Slay, some young guys. They had a good mix in there. It wasn't just all young.
Why do you not think that that's important? Older players.
I never said it wasn't important. I never said it. See, this is the thing, Tyler. I never said it wasn't important. But you've imputed on those young guys. I like that big old word, imputed. All right, I like that word.
Is it a word?
Yes, it is. Impute is a word.
You look it up or you had it run?
No, I had to. I looked that up. I made sure before I rolled that one out there, I looked it up. But no, Tyler, here's the thing. I think that, and this is how I feel, because this is kind of how I came into the NFL. You learn from the ones that came before you, whether that's good or bad. Like, I always give an example of Donald Evans. And I remember Donald didn't teach me so much about football, but he always said every day, save your money, man. Save your money. And I think that you have veterans that leave their legacy in different ways, and the guys that are there pick up that mantle and they lead in their different ways. Just like when Slay left, he said Reed Blankenship. He said he's going to be a leader. You look at Reed and you look at those other young guys like Cooper DeJean, you look at Quinyon Mitchell, they learned at the feet of Darius Slay. So they're going to take everything that Darius Slay taught him, and the biggest thing that he taught him is how to be all-inclusive. And whomever they bring in here, if that player needs help, they're going to help him. That's what being a leader is. Being a leader is when somebody – they bring – say like a tribe. If they bring somebody into the tribe, instead of making them an outlier, you embrace them and you teach them the tribal ways. I like that one. That was a good one. You teach them the tribal way.
You're smelling your farts all day.
I'm just saying, dog. I'm cooking.
No one even reacted. You're like, hold on. I like that.
I like that. I like because it's a tribe. It's a tribe.
You're going to start pausing for applause soon.
I know.
I mean, it's the YouTube thing.
You
take a bow? It's the YouTube
thing. How can somebody teach you the tribal way if they don't have the certain level of respect?
That's right. That's right. Like, there's different ranks in the tribe.
First of all, Tyler. There's not a young person, there's not a person that has come to the Philadelphia Eagles that is not going to have respect for Zach Bond, even though he hasn't been here this long. Quinyon Mitchell, for what he's done on the field, even though they're young. Or Cooper DeJean, you know why? Because they played at a high level all year long, and then guess what else they did? They won a Super Bowl. So if I'm coming on into this team as a young rookie.
Thundercat.
Or somebody that's a free agent, I'm falling into lockstep with what they're doing because they got the formula. They got the secret sauce to get to the next level.
I get that. I do. Tyler, I get that. And they may be a little more respected than your typical 23-24. Yeah. Tyler, we need you to help us out as we crown a champion. Who are you voting for here, Tyler? Long talk at Hugh or told you so, Douglas? Who should win the title?
I tell you, this is as easy of a vote as I can give y'all. It's absolutely long, long talk you. Long talk you's got to win this game.
Long talk you, all right.
Yeah, because I just did a little bit long.
That means.
How are we breaking this tie?
That
we got a tie.
That means we have a tie. And we have to go to the Twitter poll.
All right, this is like a buzzer beater.
The winner of the bracket of Hughes. Is I told you so, Douglas.
I told you so, Douglas.
By a hair.
You're national champion. All right, so.
A worthy winner.
Yes. I want to say to thank you everyone who participated and was part of this. And much like you, at the end of the NCAA tournament, much like last night when I turned off Florida and Houston and I went to bed and I was pretty groggy. I was falling asleep at points of the second half. It doesn't just sign off with the announcer saying goodbye.
Mm-mm.
They let you hear the great sounds of Luther. And they let you hear the great moments from the tournament. So here it is, our send-off to the Bracket of Hughes. Yes, today, about an hour and a half from now, they tip off the NCAA tournament. And a mere moments from now, we tip off the Bracket of Hughes. We have in front of us 64 versions, personalities, different Hughes that we hear from on a daily basis.
The ball is
just made me think, and I'm not being petty. I'm not being petty at all, but I...
Don't be petty on a Monday.
No, I'm not being petty, but I just thought it was kind of ironic. You're a shooting star in all the years. I'm a long talk just a little bit.
Okay, because you go.
Yeah, it's shredding season. Getting ready for these Tubi movies.
Sorry, partner.
Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams? I'm working. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I get in trouble for waving at y'all, but y'all
it's
make it.
It's not the waving. It's not
no,
the waving.
But it's the speaking
it's
to
when
him.
When you're talking to people and we're
because
on the air.
He made it.
No, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
He was distracted. The time
is short. You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
Hey, it's Hugh Douglas. What? Hugh damn Douglas. What? Hugh Douglas. What the hell, man?
Is that bacon?
Yeah, it is bacon. It is bacon, dude.
I'm oral fixated. I mean, it's the truth. I'm oral fixated. And I try not to swallow it, but it's like I don't, you know, I swallow it sometimes. Did you hear what
that,
I said?
That sounded bad, though, Kyle. That was... I'm kind of mad about that.
And I hit that over here.
It was hard as hell.
I would have stayed in Florida if that lady wouldn't help me. That's how dug in I was. And lather Vaseline on me. I have an agenda.
You mentioned the fact that the teams that the Eagles have played throughout this 8-game win streak have been tomato cans.
No way, shape, or form me making excuses. Uh-uh. This is just something. Uh-uh. No, this, and I'm speculating, y'all. I don't know this for sure. I haven't heard anything.
Recklessly?
I'm recklessly speculating. That heel's going to stay there. Yes. Yeah. That's why it's funny. Or you people that don't understand where I'm coming from. You people that are like ridiculous fandom. You people.
Player safety. Do we have? Because inside you knew.
In one shining moment, you reach for. They got thick wood heart. You know, this is the series we played. Two tomato cans. Emmanominy. A legit threat. And the ambiguity.
Stop, man.
Those. I can't even get it out now. I hate you, Kyle. Just want to put that out there.
Sorry, buddy.
You're listening to the best of the WIP Midday Show with Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.